You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha. Welcome to Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. I'm your host, and I'm joined by my fellow host for this review segment, Mrs. Kai Lovell. And today we are going to review a cool advanced review of The Artist's Wife, starring Bruce Dern and Lena Olin. And first off, I want to start by saying, welcome, Kai. How are you today?
Hey, thank you so much, Paul. I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing so wonderful. I'm all jazzed because I just got caught up on Bill Maher. Last couple of episodes I missed, so I'm in a cool catching up on HBO mood. How about you? Seen anything good before we jump into the review of The Artist's Wife?
Yeah, I mean, we've been watching a lot. I actually started, speaking of HBO, I started to watch The Vow, and I don't know if you're familiar with that documentary. No. I feel like it's a limited documentary series. You should check it out. It's about the alleged, or actually the proven cult that was being run, NXIVM. Did you hear anything about that in the news?
Oh, yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so I started watching that, and it's really interesting, and just a really, really cautionary documentary about, you know, the type of manipulation that people can put upon others. And we might say that, like, oh, I'd never be in a cult, but it's definitely very eye-opening to see the type of people who ended up there.
Ah, well, what an interesting segue, because this film isn't about a cult, but I feel it is a little bit about the mental places we can put ourselves in, whether it's through marriage or children or art or what we sacrifice for things. Today, I'm going to read a quick synopsis. Internet Movie Database gave this a 7, and it's releasing this Friday, September 25th. Bruce Dern stars in it. He plays the artist. This is going to be available on iTunes, Amazon Prime, Lemley Virtual Cinemas. So let's see. Synopsis. Here we go. Claire, Lena Olin, lives a domestic life in the Hamptons as the wife of celebrated artist Richard Smithson, played by Bruce Dern. He was once a promising painter, but Claire now lives in the shadow of her husband's illustrious career. While preparing for his final show, Richard's moods become increasingly erratic, and he is diagnosed with dementia. As his memory and behavior deteriorate, she shields his condition from the art community while trying to reconnect him with his estranged daughter and grandson from a previous marriage. This dives into so many things, obviously dementia and, you know, artists dealing with the end of their career, the passion they put into it. We're going to start out with Kai, but just so everyone knows, we're going to be looking at this film from Kai's married and has children. I'm a single guy. We're both artists, but I'm the artist who my projects have been my children. So there's some things I really picked up on with Bruce Dern, and I could not imagine if I was forgetting how to do my craft or having to walk away from it. So this is going to be a really unique way that we can look at this from multiple points of view. So with that, Kai, let's keep with tradition here and start off with how you felt about the film.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Paul. You know, this film was really, really interesting to me in the sense that because it's about an artist and just the title itself, like it's pretty self-explanatory what the main concept of this film's going to be. And I thought it would be more, how do I say this? I just thought that there'd be more emphasis on art in the sense of the title of the film. But what I loved about it is that it was not obvious in that sense. It was really about the canvas of our lives is like every artist makes decisions based on their inspiration at the time. You know, feelings aren't facts, but sometimes we do make these choices that are going to be everlasting. And to show someone who had been like Bruce Dern's character, Richard, had been so full of you know, he'd just been in the spotlight for so long and really just showered in compliments for his creative genius that he sort of lost touch with what it was to be in the civilian world, if you will, and how to conduct yourself in that manner. Because, you know, creative people are notoriously either, I think that it's funny, like in artist movies, artists are usually so beyond eccentric in the sense that they kind of get borderline mean. And that is a really interesting way to introduce where Richard is right now, because that's such a dominant, you know, dementia is one of those things that makes you be just sort of sporadically rude, mean, inconsiderate, very like just conducting yourself in a way that other people are like, whoa, what's going on with that? And it's an effect or a side effect or an onset of the beginnings of dementia. So the trauma of the artist's wife dealing with that when Richard has ultimately been her child, they're single in the sense that it's just the two of them. They're completely committed to each other, which is very beautiful. However, Richard always has another woman in the relationship, if you will, or a third person, and it's whatever work he's working on at that time. And because Claire is an artist herself, I think that she accepts that and has gone on this wild ride of like passion and creativity and excitement. However, they're dealing with like the sunset of their life, and that things like beauty fade, and things like, you know, the want and the need for like the next generation of your life, you know, that legacy is something that does become more dominant as time goes on. As a mother, I know that like, I'm very concerned about what happens for my children, what type of legacy we leave behind, whether it's personally in our own lives or on this earth. And I think a lot of people can relate with that right now, seeing what's going on in the environment. But yeah, just that was a really interesting way to tell a story about love. It was multi-layered. It's really about family. It's about health, wellness. It's about, you know, what it means to be committed to someone. And it's told from a very meticulous perspective in the sense that Claire is the backbone of keeping everything in line with someone who is completely out of the lines at all times, which is ironic for an artist because they're so focused on this balance, you know, in their art. But when it comes to life, like, I guess just sort of going off what we were saying earlier with cults, like sometimes your choices in life, it puts the cult in culture, you know, like if you have this commitment and this culture of art, even if you're teaching it to others, you have this way of teaching it to people that sometimes isn't going to work for everybody. And you see that displayed in the film as well. And then you see just, I feel like Claire was so awesome in the sense that she goes on her own independent ride throughout. It's her own little secret. It's her own little baby. It's her own child that she's fostering and mentoring and caretaking. And in that, she always will come back to being selfless and making sure that the star of the show is her star of the show. And it's not for her to be recognized in the world, but it's for the love that she has for this other person to be protect. And so I left this film feeling like Claire is the ultimate protector in every area of Richard's life. And the beauty is that sometimes with women and men in relationships, it's best that our husbands don't know it. And they can just sort of take the accolades and take the applause. And really, ultimately, it was Claire who was there. And she's his biggest fan. So she was just protecting him the whole time.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it was such a strong script with all those layers. And I'll take a quick look here at who wrote it. I know it was directed by Tom Dolby, he's one of the co-writers. When I looked up, he produced the movie Call Me by Your Name. 2 or 3 years ago, it was one of the best pictures nominations, and it was known as so gutsy and so out there because it had Timothy Chalamet, and it was LGBTQ content at the time.
Yeah, coming of age, heartbreaker.
Coming of age and great fruit scene. Sorry, I didn't mean that as fruit. You know what I meant. Such strong performances. So I was interested when I read that he directed it, because when you have such a heavy like Bruce Dern, who's I always call him a heavy, but he's so light in his temperament. He doesn't have to have the Pacino volume or the De Niro transformation. He's so simple. When you go back to films like Coming Home or all the way back to, he was working with Hitchcock in the 70s. And he's really kind of one of the actors coming into it with Jack Nicholson, who's kind of like independent filmmakers, kind of like Bruce Dern's one of the last guys left. So that's what's so interesting to see him still doing indie films. Of course, he kind of burst back on the scene with Alexander Payne's Nebraska. But I like that the similarities that this had to the character in Nebraska, he still managed to make different. Like, it wasn't just like, oh, here it is again. He's an elderly man with dementia, and it's going to be the same thing. It was just like, how can I put this? The direction was so wonderful, and they were in such sync. And I love how Bruce Dern comes off to me as an actor who's like still inquisitive and is still enjoying the canvas. So it's not like the way some actors you can really watch, you know, because you and I've seen so many movies where it's like, as good as they are, it's like they're calling it in. They know they have your attention. I'm not going to name names, but this seemed like he was still searching like a painter. And that was totally coming across. He didn't have the answers. And here's a guy who's been in movies for over 50 years. And it was still coming off like a fresh, had he been a new elderly actor cast. I really loved that aspect of Bruce Dern. And also, too, the it was interesting how the wife was appeared to be so much younger. And we've had some conversations in films about the difference in artist age, and I felt like not too much attention was drawn to that. But the story itself was, how can I put this? I think the film did a really good job of not just being totally cliche. Like you're saying, there was other layers. There was stuff for the wife, and it didn't just come off as an obvious title. Like, it was just going to be about the wife, then she does this or that. It was like you had mentioned legacy, and the synopsis mentions daughter and grandkids, so this isn't spoiling anything. So is there something that you would like to share in terms of, you know, that you are a wife, and like you said, you do have to pay attention to what, how you create affects the next generation. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that and like how it applied to the film for you?
Sure. I mean, I have to say about Bruce Dern, I think as an actor, he's so gracious. And even in this film, just like what I noticed that he did in Nebraska, he is the center. He's the sun, right? He's the sun of this film. And everything is sort of like just circulating around to him on this axis, and it survives only because of him. However, he gives all of his scenes to the actors who are in it with him. And I just think it's so amazing because, like you said, he has such an understated large presence that, you know, you look at his face too, and he has one of those faces where you're like, that's an uncle that I know. Like, that's like a family member of mine. That's a person that I know in my community. So coming from the perspective of like being a parent and being a daughter and being a granddaughter and being a loved one of people who are creative, if you've ever dealt with someone with dementia, this one of the challenging things of having someone in your life that you love dearly who has dementia is that they don't really know what's going on. And you will be, if you look at it just from a time perspective alone, you're spending the majority of your time with this person, but you cannot tell them what's going on other than reminding them of what's going on in the day that it's like very obvious. You know, like it's the morning, today is a Sunday, the weather is nice, we're going to go to the market after this. Like, you're kind of explaining what's going to happen and the events of the day, but you can't tell someone with dementia the inner dealings, like the depth of what you're dealing with their dementia, because you're watching the sunset on your loved one. And there's that always nagging feeling that one morning when you wake up and one morning when they wake up, they're not going to recognize you, and then realizing that you don't know how to deal with that. You know, that's a very scary idea to deal with, especially as someone's getting older. So You know, like when I was watching this film, I was just thinking about if someone's legacy is creating these things that will go on people's walls and be looked at as like pieces of artistic genius. And then, you know, for her, Claire was a budding artist herself. Like, I like that there was these layers of backstory told, because that to me is like, it's the music of a family. Like, family members, we can't all play the same instrument, or if we're singing and we're just going a cappella, we can't all be sopranos. We can't all be altos, you know? We have to kind of fill in where the other person's strengths aren't. And I think that that was very, very beautifully and brilliantly told by Claire's ability to just line everything up from that first cup of coffee to checking and making sure that the paintbrushes were good at the end of the evening. Claire is, you know, she's the earth, if you will, like, or the moon. She's just the main thing that is making sure that the sun can continue on. And it's very selfless.
That's such a great assessment. Because of course I can, I don't want to say only, but for this, the male point of view of being the artist and having been with a woman for 7 years and created stuff together and kind of having a career that went more, and even realized kind of as I was watching this, kind of seeing my own selfishness of things being more about my career and kind of learning that from the film. So that's what I thought was really cool and deep about the film was, and I think I could speak for you on this. We both love films that can kind of like, I mean, anybody does, but I think filmmakers, film lovers, artists like yourself and I, like, we just love when that film just like cracks open a door that we weren't expecting. And so for me to kind of be watching it and just be like, oh, so now I get why she was saying I was selfish, or why stuff was more about my art, because I had the media attention or I had the voice that had just been fostered more. So that was what I really liked about it, was just the absolute truth of it. And I'm glad that I didn't know beforehand that it was from the producer of Call Me By Your Name, because I would have kind of, I guess, seen a bias, because that's such an emotional film. And this was so emotional. And so everyone knows, again, this is going to come to video on demand, iTunes, Prime Video, Lemley Virtual Cinemas, which for people that aren't in LA, I don't know what they're doing. Because Lemley has like Lemley Santa Monica, Lemley NoHo, Lemley Beverly Hills. There's like 6 or 7 of them. So unfortunately, just the information here says Lemley Virtual. This played in Palm Springs, which our show has covered the Palm Springs Film Festival before. Played up in Mill Valley, which I love the Bay Area. I think you could say the same, right, Kai?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Bay Area is awesome. And then it played in Whistler, which shout out to our content manager, editor. Kev is actually from Vancouver, but he lived in Whistler for a while, and I would go up there and visit him. And so it was kind of cool to see that it played in these places that, you know, we have an attachment to and have been to. And of course, I wanted to say real quick about Bruce Dern, you know, check this work out, but then create yourself a little film festival. You know, check out Coming Home and check out King of Marvin Gardens. He's in Alfred Hitchcock's last movie, Family Plot. And in honor of Kai, I would say check out The Burbs, so we can really line up all the great art and Nebraska, you know, because we got to go from Corey Feldman to Oscar nomination. And we say that with all love. Now, the thing that I, again, this, and also this was, I think, you know, all the cinematography worked, all the editing, it didn't like draw attention to shots. It didn't like draw attention to, hey, look at this. How did you feel, Kai, like about, I feel it nailed something that's really hard for movies to do, which is to play out in the pace of life. So it wasn't just acting or writing. It was like, I hope I'm explaining this properly. Like, when you're really just feeling like if the characters are bored, you're bored. Not the film's bored, but like you're exactly in tune with what's going on. Like, did you feel that, like, with this film?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like the time of year and the location of the film, like, I'm not sure where it took place, but I'd imagine just by looking at it, it was in New York. It was in Long Island. What's that area called that all the rich people live in? The Hamptons. I feel like they live in the Hamptons.
Oh, yes, the Hamptons.
And,
it's an opposite of the Hamptons.
Just because she was going in and out of the city so often to go see his daughter, I felt like that was something that I have learned. Not that I've been to the Hamptons or anything, but I've just learned from books and movies that I've seen about New York. So I feel like that area really lent to that because it is serene. It is picturesque. It is cushy. It is, you know, Range Rovery and housekeeper and somebody to go shopping for you-ish, you know? So that's a very far cry from, you know, some of the things that were shared about their backstory, like living in a crappy studio where the floor is falling apart and there's always these like events and openings and shows and people and places and things. Now they're really just sort of in this other time in their life. And I felt like that area lent to being able to feel the ups and the downs because she, Claire, sort of goes in and out of being in her very protected, very well-run, very dependable home. And then she goes back into the city and that's where she sort of gets this like heartbeat. It's sort of like if you were just in the doctor's office, you would start to see her pulse going up, 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 and then back down as she returns home, because that's who she's supposed to be when she returns home. And that's very much a part of relationships, you know, like she separates herself to be herself and then returns home to be who she's supposed to be at home and who she's supposed to be as a grandma and who she's supposed to be as an entertainer and a host and a wife. And then, you know, the artist part of her life has kind of gone to the wayside. But what I do love about how this whole, like, how everything comes together is that because she's taken time to do that, she's able to truly be his gatekeeper to his heart, his soul, his spirit, his nest, if you will, because, you know, the last final scenes really, that is an ode to their commitment to each other and the relationship and the bond that they have made, because it's all about that.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that's interesting you said exploring the roles because... Yeah, because of course, and we won't get into it because it's personal. But like we said at the beginning, you've been the granddaughter, the mother. One day you could be a grandmother down the road. And,
take it easy.
Grandmother, grandmother Kai. I will be the first one calling you to say. I will be the first one to say, hey, grandmother. Yeah. and by the way, everyone knows tutu means grandma, not how that could sound. So basically, you know, I only know the boyfriend and the son, or the boyfriend and the artist, the business world. I think that was something cool too, that the film did, was having that writing that very well written, that separation of the way it can just go from like you're the artist and you get on the phone and of course there's people that are honest and then you kind of just hang up the phone and you're back to being the whatever. And I don't want to get into that too much because that kind of spoils some of the secrets of the character in the film. But
I mean, like for creatives, oh my gosh, it's so hard for creatives to be their own salespeople or to be their own business people, you know, like, that's
right.
Tedious for real, true creatives.
Right. Or turning it off, you know, like, which is kind of cool, which it's not being personal, it's too personal, but it's kind of like what I was kind of liking about this was seeing, not that there's remotely something to do with us, but kind of that creativity that, you know, we have doing that show where it's just like, hey, here's an idea, here's a thought, and kind of weaving in and out of that. That's what I thought was kind of cool about the film, was reversing the marriage for friendship and being able to see how there's kind of just like you have those people who you know, not making this all about our show, but just kind of the way we can view these films is to kind of like, we're friends, then we're creators, then we're team members, then we're, so it's like, that's what I kind of liked about the film, was it really nailed that, those different relationships. So, with that, I'm pretty much, there's nothing else I want to get into because I don't want to spoil any of the surprises, but I just want to say that this, was a great film. And for me, I highly recommend it. And it's just so cool that it's coming out soon and people can check it out mm-hmm. on the various platforms. And, yeah. So is there anything that you would want to say to close up?
All I would say is that I don't think that I was able to share how much I was impressed by the acting. I thought that the actors were, every single one was amazing. And that allowed a well-written script to just be played out in a way that was like you said, like as you kind of would feel things slow down, you could feel it slow down as a result of everybody being on the same page and doing just a really great job. So I really like that. And one thing that I noticed is that it's considered a drama. I would say that it's considered a love story to me. I don't know. I thought that that was like a romance. And I know that that might sound funny after you've seen it, but really, I thought it was very romantic in its gesture to kind of tell the story of like how we are as human beings and what the nature of that is for the long haul. So, you know, it's not always exciting, but it can always be romantic. So that's all I have
to say. I love that. It's not always exciting. I mean, that's the perfect way of summing up the film. I mean, it's not always exciting, but it can be romantic. That's, wow. I love that because you always have this way of kind of just like coming in with a perfect ending of the show. I dig
well,
that. I
that
totally dig
anything.
That. Oh, that's true. That's true. That's true. So we want to thank PR and we want to thank for getting us this film and okaying us to have both of us watch it. And we wish the film and the filmmakers all the success. And with that, that's going to do it for Kai and I here on Talking Pictures with Paul Booth. And, you know, my motto, whether it's morning, afternoon, evening, or whatever other time of crazy day you've found during COVID, make sure and watch a good movie. Aloha from me. And you want to say aloha, Kai?
Aloha. Yeah. We hope.
All right.
Aloha.
Take care. Aloha, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.